Good morning. It's good to be back home. This morning, I'm just wondering how many hours you have to wait on the Lord and hear the gospel preached this morning. How many hours do you have? Okay. I can tell you don't have many. We are in the Hallelujah Psalms, episode 6, the language of praise, Psalm 150. It is the last song in the book of Psalms. It starts and ends with the word Hallelujah, like Psalms 146 to 149, if you've been with us here. We'll look at who should be praised, where, why, and how. Number one, who should be praised? When I was growing up in Africa, it was not uncommon to hear my parents say, Lesa alumbwe, meaning God be praised. Other times I would hear them say, Hallelujah. I used to think Hallelujah is what people said when they were happy or when something nice had happened. But what does the psalmist mean when he said Hallelujah in verse 1a and verse 6b? You may have heard this before, that Hallelujah is a Hebrew term made up of two words, Hallel, which means praise He, and Yah, which means Lord in capital letters. Here the writer uses second person plural imperative, praise ye, meaning you all. You praise the Lord. You there praise the Lord. You and you and you and me praise the Lord. My African English teacher used to say to us, boys and girls in primary school, he said, boys and girls, listen to me. An imperative is a command. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. And so I take it when the psalmist says, praise the Lord, which is an imperative, is giving a command to people to praise the Lord. There is no opt-out clause. It's not an option. You all praise the Lord. Now, you might know that praise itself, the word praise, means to brag about, to boast about, to declare or say something good about, or to celebrate or honor or admire, etc., etc. The second part of the word Hallelujah, the Yah part, is a short form of God's personal name, Yahweh, translated as Lord in capital letters. It's the same word that the Lord introduced himself with to Moses in the burning bush. He said, I am who I am. The Lord. This is the same term, Yah. So he's saying, praise the I am who I am. Praise the Lord. How does it apply to you? Simply this. Who should praise the Lord? Or who should be praised? The Lord, the I am who I am. Who should praise him? You and you and you and me. We should praise the Lord. The I am who I am simply means the unchanging one, the self-sustaining one, the self-sufficient one, the all-sufficient one, the inexhaustible fountain of being and bliss. The I am. Praise the I am. Praise him who does not need any natural support system to bring him about. Praise the Lord. And also, if you remember now, he reveals himself in the New Testament by the Lord Jesus Christ. If you remember, the Lord himself used the same term, the same term, the tetragrammaton, to himself. He claimed it for himself. He applied it to himself. When he said to the Pharisees and Sadducees, when they were telling him, they were saying, you are not yet 50 years old, and you are saying you've seen Abraham. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. So the Old Testament God reveals himself in the man from Galilee, Jesus Christ. He said, I am, before Abraham was. And if you remember, the Lord himself said, seven I ams in the book of John, he said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. That was Jesus. So praise the Lord. You're not locked up in the Old Testament. It transports you straight into the New Testament and tells you about Jesus. I am the bread of life. Some of you might might be familiar with the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. So God wants and deserves and is worthy of our exclusive praise, and it belongs only to him. Number two, where should the Lord be praised? The psalmist says, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. When this psalm was written, the Israelites used to have the tabernacle, or they used to have the sanctuary. It used to be a huge tent. They used to go there and offer all sorts of sacrifices of goats and bulls and lambs. This was their place of worship. This was symbolizing the presence of God among his people, the sanctuary. Praise the Lord in the sanctuary. This was symbolic of his presence. So he invites them to praise him there. Now, I think you'll be glad to know that we no longer need to sacrifice bulls and goats and lambs. The Bible tells us that God dwells in the highest heaven. But it also tells us that God dwells by his Spirit in those who believe and trust in Jesus as God's final sacrifice for their sins. He dwells in them. If you trust in the Lord this morning, God dwells in you by his Spirit. That's what the Bible says. Regardless of how you feel, he dwells in you. In 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. In other words, honor God by living right, you honor him. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable or pleasing to God. This is your proper spiritual worship. Honor God with your life. It's not only the mouth thing when we say hallelujah. It should involve our whole life, our conduct, our behavior, how we live out our lives is all supposed to be involved in praising this Almighty God. In 1 Peter, this is what the Bible says, but you who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a peculiar people. That's what it says. It says, he has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are his own special people, that you may proclaim the what? The praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Because you were once not a people, but you are now the people of God. You had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. So praise him as the people of God. Praise him as a royal priesthood. Praise him individually. And praise him as a body of believers. Praise him when you are by yourself. And praise him when you are with others. Praise him in a crowd. And praise him when you are alone. Praise the Lord. And then the Bible continues to say, praise him in the firmament of his power. Perhaps here the writer turns to the mighty angels in the highest places in heaven, God's real sanctuary. He turns there where everything is done perfectly, including the praise. When they exalt the Lord, he says, praise God in his power and glory. Praise him in the vast brightness and splendor of the expanse. Praise him in every place. The author is saying, praise God in the heavens and praise God on the earth. Praise God everywhere and anywhere. Praise God wherever you are found. Praise the Lord. Number three, why should the Lord be praised? In verse 2 here it says, praise him for his mighty acts. And it also says, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Two things. Praise him according to his mighty acts or for his mighty acts. And then number two, praise him for who he is. Praise him for his excellent greatness. What he has done or what he does and who he is. Those are the two reasons we praise the Lord for. Praise God for what he has done and does in creation. Now, if you are like me, you are celebrated a few birthdays, you will have found out that it's not a very good self-esteem strategy to stare in a mirror far too long, especially when you have celebrated many birthdays. It's always a losing game. But when you consider what is inside a human body, you can't help but marvel at the Creator's ingenuity. For example, an average of 30 trillion cells performing highly specialized functions without our conscious involvement. That, to me, is a mighty work, is a mighty act. Where you are seated, 30 trillion average of 30, some have more cells, some have less, but an average of 30 trillion cells performing intricate activities without your permission. That is a mighty act, and the Lord ought to be praised for that. About 3,000 years ago, King David wrote in Psalm 139, "For you, God, formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. So I will praise you." You see, when we see the intricacy and complexity and the immensity of creation, from the butterfly, from a tiny butterfly to the huge, gigantic star like Betelgeuse, or from a crawling insect to the 2,000 times bigger than the sun, Canis Majoris, it should lead us to shout hallelujah for his acts of power. Praise the Lord. And listen to what Matthew Bridges wrote in verse 5 of his song, "Crown him with many crowns." This is what he wrote. "Crown him the Lord of years, the potentate of time, creator of the rolling spheres, ineffable, in other words, indescribable, sublime. Crown him with many crowns. Praise him, the creator and the sustainer of all things." Another songwriter put it this way: "O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand has made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe is displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee how great thou art." Again, King David said in Psalm 19, verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament or the sky shows forth his handiwork. Day after day, they utter speech, and night after night, they reveal knowledge. There is no language or speech where the voice is not heard. Their words have gone out through all the earth, their sound to the end of the earth. The heavens declare the glory of God." So praise him because of his mighty acts of power. Now, perhaps if you've been a Christian for some time, even for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, you realize that, or you would agree with me, that the mightiest of all the acts of God is revealed in redemption. How the creator of the rolling spheres put on a human body in a virgin's womb, that is a mighty act. Charles Wesley put it this way: "Let earth and heaven combine, angels and men agree, to praise in songs divine the incarnate deity. Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man." That is a mighty act. He ought to be praised for that. End of quote. "Consider how perfect, how sinless he was. Consider his death, his burial in a borrowed tomb. Consider his resurrection on the third day. And consider his ascension into the heavenlies. He ought to be praised. He deserves, is worthy of praise for his mighty acts. This should lead us to use the language of praise and shout hallelujah. Because of his resurrection, you can shout hallelujah. Because of his perfect and sinless life, you can shout hallelujah. Because of his resurrection, because of his coming back, you can shout hallelujah. And by the way, he is coming back. Secondly, The psalmist said, praise him for his excellent greatness. Now, I don't know if you ever have on this earth enough time to describe the greatness of our God. He is great. And many times, as people of God, we may not recognize and see what he has done. Many times. Because maybe we are going through difficult times and circumstances and situations that are so hostile and harsh. And it veils the greatness of God and what he has done in our lives and in history and in creation. So much so that it's so difficult and so almost impossible to open our mouths and say, Lord, I praise you. Because the situation is so hard, difficult. Well, the writer here in the book of Psalms urges us to turn to another reason why we should praise the Lord. He says, praise him just for who he is, not for what he has done. Praise him for who he is. Irrespective of what we are going through, praise him for who he is. Praise him for his attributes, who he is. Remind yourself that God is all-powerful. God is eternal. God is everywhere present. God knows everything. God never changes. God is loving. God is caring. God is good. God is gracious. God is holy, perfect, just, infinite, wise, righteous, sovereign, and transcendent. God is good. He deserves hallelujah. Yes, he does. He deserves our hallelujah. He deserves your hallelujah. That's what praise the Lord means. It's in the Bible, you know. Number four. How should the Lord be praised? In verse 3, the psalmist dedicates verse 3 to 6 to talk about how we should praise the Lord. He said, praise him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise him with a lute and a harp. Praise him with a tambourine and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipes. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise he the Lord. In other words, he's saying, praise him with all kinds of instruments. And some of these, I don't even know which they are, what they are. And I think some of them are obsolete. But whatever is available to you as an instrument of music, use it to praise him. He deserves the praise. And him alone deserves the worship. So praise him with all kinds of instruments made by man. Use them and praise the Lord. And he also says, praise him when he says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. He says, praise him with the breath God has given. Praise him with instruments, but praise him with your breath. If you have any breath this morning, praise him with your breath. If you cannot play an instrument, an organ, or whatever it is, you can use your breath to praise the Lord. I was looking at the writings of Martin Luther, and of course, most of us know Martin Luther's thesis when he wrote it and protested against the status quo, the religious status quo then. I knew about that. But what I didn't know is his view about music. And I'll read it to you. Martin Luther. Beautiful music is the art of the prophets that can calm the agitations of the soul. It is one of the most magnificent and delightful presents God has given us. Next to the Word of God, the noble art of music is the greatest treasure in the world. That thrilled me to hear that from Martin Luther. He had other things to say about those who do not like music, which I don't want to read here. I think we'll leave it there. Simply said, there is power in music. There is power in singing. Singing is part of who we are as people. It's how we can express our thoughts, whether it be secular or religious music, is a vehicle, is a medium through which we can express our thoughts and our experiences. If you read the Psalms, it's full of experiences being expressed in music, in Psalms. And when I read what Zephaniah said, it blew my mind. This is what Zephaniah said. Listen to what he said. The Lord your God, in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quieten you with his love. And listen to this. He will rejoice over you with singing. What an awesome thought to me to imagine or just think about the Almighty God who created the rolling spheres, who created the angels who sing, who created the voices and gave you voices, those of you who can sing. He himself rejoices over his people with singing. That's unimaginable. To me, it just blew my mind. I thought, I couldn't imagine. I wonder whether he sings without accompaniment or in solo. That might appear to be a flippant question, but I tend to think like that. But the Bible says he sings. Our God sings. He expresses his thoughts with singing. So the Bible says. Now here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you are uncomfortable with praise or singing here on earth, how will you react when you go to heaven? All the saints are singing, and all the angels are singing. And by the way, it shall happen according to the Bible. That is, if you find yourself there, and you can only do that when you repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you reach there, find all the saints who have gone before us singing the praises of God. And then you hear all the angels lifting up their voices, worshiping and praising the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just imagine the atmosphere. How will you react to that? And then to top it all, then you hear the Lord himself bursting out in song over his people. That's what the Bible says. He sings over you. He rejoices over you with singing. How will you react to that? I encourage you to sing to him and praise him when you're still here on earth. Revelations chapter number 19, and I'll end with this. And I would like us to read this together. I'll read some portions, and I would like you to join me when we reach the praise the Lord, or the hallelujah bit. Is that okay? All right. Revelations chapter 19, verse 1 to 6. We're reading from the New King James Version. Okay. After these things, this is John being shown what was going to happen in the future. John, the last disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, wrote the book of Revelation apart from 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, and also the Gospel of John. This time, The Lord shows him what's going to happen in the future, and he puts it down for us to read. And this is what he says. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, saying what?
Hallelujah.
Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with his fornication. He has avenged on the blood of his saints and shed by her. Again they said what?
Hallelujah.
A smoke rises up forever and ever, and the 24 elders and four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who sat on the throne, saying what? Amen. Hallelujah. I don't think that's what they said. They lifted up their voice. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of the great multitude, the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad. I beg your pardon. A great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. This was in heaven, and it's going to happen. They will shout hallelujah. And this is the first and the last time in the New Testament the word is used. Hallelujah. Four times it's mentioned here in the book of Revelation. What's our conclusion? You and I are commanded to praise the Lord for who he is and for what he has done, for his acts of power. Praise him despite what we are going through. Wherever we are, with a breath he has given us, and with all kinds of instruments, praise the Lord. You might be here, it might be the first time you're here, or maybe all this that we have said doesn't make any sense to you. Can I encourage you not to rush out and go without your questions being answered? Can I ask you to grab me or grab Grifo or the elders here to explain to you what we have just been talking about? May the Lord bless his word. We're going to stand and sing a praise song.